I'm joined by Khalid Salah, executive member of the Syrian National Council. Khalid, Kofi Annan is said to be proposing some form of national unity government at this conference in Geneva. What do you make of the idea?
You know, we're still not very clear on the details of this unity government. If the implication, as it seems, at least, that Assad would remain in power or the gang around him will still be involved, I think the forces of the revolution on the ground, which matters the most, have made it very clear that this is not an acceptable proposition. This is also will not be acceptable to the SNC. Assad also, until now, had not even shown any willingness to engage Kofi Annan. As you're probably aware, Deir ez-Zor is surrounded by 160 tanks. They're continuing to bomb Homs. They're committing atrocities in Idlib. So I think Assad is making it very clear, and Annan seems to refuse to accept that reality.
But if somehow he could be persuaded to step aside, would you then be interested?
If Assad and the people who have blood on their hands are stepping aside, will be held accountable, this is definitely something we would at least consider.
Okay, but you're now saying it's not just Assad, but lots of people around him with blood on their hands, and that they be held to account. So simply just getting rid of Assad as a figurehead would not be enough.
Getting rid of Assad is not enough. We have a group of people, and Assad is not the only problem that we have in Syria. We have a group of people that's around him, that's directing the military operations against civilians, that's committed atrocities against civilians. So it's definitely not about Assad by himself.
Will you be attending the conference
In Geneva?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, the SNC has not been invited. So unless that changed in the last 24 hours.
Okay. While you're on, what do you make of the military build up on the Turkish border? Do you think that creates some kind of a safe zone for opposition members in the northwest of Syria?
Well, we're getting reports of that. We're still trying to confirm that with the Turkish government. I think any form of military build-up in Turkey and Jordan, any of those neighboring countries, will create some form of pressure on Assad. I'm not sure if there is actual plans to create that safe zone. Of course, this is something that we welcome, something that we've asked for since the early days of the SNC, officially on March 13th. So we're waiting for the international community to really step up and take on the role that it should be taking, which until now seems to be divided and has not really shown us active steps towards protecting the civilian population in Syria.
Erdogan has said that his troops will be ordered to fire on anyone on Syrian military approaching the Syrian the Turkish border. Does that not create some form of de facto safe zone?
Well, I mean, Assad can say whatever he wants, but the reality of it, we understand that the situation in the Syrian military at this point, the Syrian military is suffering from high number of defections. The defection rate had increased tremendously over the last 3-4 weeks. I think Assad, in no way, shape, or form, is able to respond to any international military, whether it's the Turkish or otherwise.
What's the latest situation on the ground as far as you're concerned in terms of defections?
Defections are increasing tremendously. I can just talk specifically about Deir ez-Zor because I was just talking to the guys over there. Over the last 3 days, the Syrian army has been trying to capture the city. They've been sending tanks, shelling the city continuously, using helicopters. Over the last 3 days, they tried to send their troops inside, and as the troops enter the city, large numbers were defecting. 400 people defected. They stopped sending forces into the city because the minute they send them and they're away from their command and control units, these soldiers are defecting. That's just in Deir ez-Zor. We have defections. Some people are defecting and choosing to, you know, turn around and then fight the Assad army. Others are actually defecting to Turkey and Jordan. So we're amazed by the number of defections that are taking place lately.
But what rank are the defections at? I mean, how senior are the people switching sides?
You know, it's quite a mix all across. I know there's some colonels, some, you know, kind of different ranks. A good chunk, I would say, about 80% are from kind of, you know, the lower ranks. But we also have some senior defections, not upwards and generals, but, you know, kind of the people who are running some of those units.
Over the last few days, your former leader, Berhan Galiyun, made it across the border into northwest Syria to meet members of the Free Syrian Army. How significant do you think that trip was?
It was significant in many different ways. First, it showed that the you know, just the claim that they're able to protect their border and that they'll stop anybody who attacks the Syrian ground. They'll respond to it, showed that they have no control of that area. Mr. Galiyun went and met with the FSA. You know, they had an official gathering to meet with him. I think it boosted the morale. It showed the weakness of Assad. I like what one of the supporters of Assad said. It's like, oh my God, we have two countries inside of Syria. I did not recognize how bad the situation is for the Syrian government. And I think that really reflects the reality that we see on the ground.
How risky was the trip?
There is risk. There's definitely risk in it. I mean, but Mr. Galiyun decided that it was needed. It helped boost the morale. He wanted to see the situation on the ground, and it was a brave step. But nothing compares to the courage that people, you know, facing the boats have to put up every day.
I know there's been quite a lot of military activity in that area since the trip. Is there any sense that there's been a sort of reprisal attacks after the visit?
I have not heard any reports. As a matter of fact, the day of and the day after he visited that area, there were large demonstrations celebrating his visit. The morale is very high in those areas. People were just glad to see him, glad to see members of the SNC on the ground. And the reality of it, the other reality is we have members from the SNC going in and out to different areas continuously. I was just talking to a close friend who's also on the leadership of the SNC who's inside of Syria. So we're going in and out, where we're communicating with the FSA, with the revolutionary forces on the ground.
So do you think the sort of defections and gaining ground on the edges of Syria are the key to developments rather than any kind of diplomatic activity?
I think both are important. Diplomatic activities are putting lots of pressure on Assad. At the same time, when you have the FSA gaining more and more control, and of course talking with the FSA, it's kind of, you know, one day they're able to proceed, the Assad then moves his forces and attacks a certain area, but by doing so, he's letting other areas, he's letting the FSA take control of other areas. So it's kind of this continuous battle with the Assad regime. Of course, at the same time, we feel he's getting a lot weaker. The political solution, diplomatic pressure that's being put on the Assad, I think Assad at this point understands that any political solution means that he has to leave the office, he has to leave the country, him and the gang around him. I think that's really scaring him tremendously. So he's not able to accept that diplomatic solution. He's not able to deal with the FSA. So he's in he's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
And in terms of the rebels, are they any closer to be getting more coordinated leadership?
Well, we have the coordinated, and I think it did not get enough attention on in the world media. But we have the Joint Military Council that was announced on March 29th, which joins 10 military councils in different areas. There is tremendous amount of coordination between these military councils. We're in constant contact with them. They give us the situation on the ground. We're trying to coordinate with them. So there is a tremendous amount of coordination between the different provinces. At the same time, within each province, I think the different units are understanding the need to coordinate, the need to enlist within the military council within that area. The leadership of the FSA that's within Syria, that's really on the ground, that's monitoring what's going on, has a very good handle at this point about what's going on, about the situation. Our biggest challenge, really, when it comes to military council, is not a matter of coordination and then organization. Our biggest challenge has been in trying to get weapons quality, you know, weapons that are able to respond to tanks and then Air Force. That's the biggest challenge that we face with the FSA at this point.
And if there was a diplomatic breakthrough at the weekend, would you be in a position to order a ceasefire?
We coordinate closely with the FSA. You know, I think it's trying to prejudge what's going to happen over the weekend. We always welcome a solution to the bloodshed, but I do not expect Assad that has made his position clear over the last 18 months. I don't expect a real diplomatic breakthrough at this point.
Okay, Khaled, thank you very much for your time. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.